Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode number 104 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh, here to help you get that sober life you want. What would I do if I was starting sobriety from day one and needed to feel better fast? That's going to be the topic today, and we're going to get there in a few minutes. But first, I have a shout out. I was walking with my girlfriend the other day, and well, first, when I say walk, I mean an exercise walk. It's 5 miles, huge inclines, not a leisurely walk. So we were walking and talking through some business stuff. And if any of you guys have seen any of my Facebook Live videos recently, you know I have been a bit grumpy. Coronavirus dragging me down, a lot of business stuff going on, employees not working out, trying to figure out next steps, and it's all even more overwhelming now because of the quarantine. We're not working under a normal set of circumstances, and I've been a grumpy jerk. And finally, I started to come out of it. I got clarity on a few things. I got into action and figured out solutions to some of the struggles. And once I got through kind of the muck and I got through feeling bad, which really lasted a few weeks, by the way, it was not necessarily quick. But once I started to get through, I was looking back over the journey of the last couple of years, like the podcast from the beginning. And really, it reminds me a lot of my sobriety, right? I was totally committed. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I continued to take steps every single day toward my goal, and I took direction, and I kind of let it unfold in front of me. And when I look back, I'm like, holy crap, dude, some parts of that journey were really freaking hard, you know? And I'm so grateful I stuck it out. I'm so grateful that I didn't give up because the rewards are so good. So I was being a bit nostalgic about Addiction Unlimited, and I was kind of walking through it with my girlfriend, and I realized something really important. Like, the only thing that has gotten me through the last year for sure is my Facebook group. Just like my AA group is what got me through sobriety, it's the connection and being able to feel the love and having a place to be of service. I know I thank you guys all the time for being a part of that Facebook group and for supporting one another and supporting me, but I really wouldn't have made it without you guys. Like, that's the truth. If I didn't have that space to talk to you guys directly and to ask questions and have fun, I don't know if I would have survived the loneliness of just recording podcasts and posting them, you know? Like, I am really grateful for our community and your willingness to show up for me and for each other to be a community, to offer guidance and share resources and share your thoughts about your own sobriety. It has been amazing. So that's my shout out today. You guys in that group have changed my life and have had such an impact on me and the podcast and everything. I couldn't do it without you. You fueled me when I was lonely. You asked questions when I didn't know what to talk about. You just loved me as I found my way, and I will be forever grateful for that, for sure. And I'm not grumpy anymore, for now. But that's my shout out, really, is to the Facebook group, because I don't think I could have survived everything if I didn't have that group where I could really interact with you guys as a real person, you know? It's just been amazing. So thank you. Love, love, love you guys. So what would I do if I was starting sobriety from day one and needed to feel better fast? If you are sitting in early sobriety or in a rut in your recovery, this is definitely the conversation for you. I thought it would be super helpful to give you the real deal, no BS, no fluff, on what sober life activities you should focus on if you want to start feeling better as fast as possible. Listen, I love you guys. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I think you figured that out by now. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, building sustainable sobriety takes hard work and consistency. And I know in the beginning, it's not super fun. It feels hard. You don't know exactly what to do and you're spinning your wheels. So I'm sharing with you what I did to start putting together my first few days and months of sobriety in hopes that it helps you start stringing together your own days, weeks, and months of sobriety. As you know, I had a lot of challenges when I got sober. I was physically broken from my accident. I had no money and all my bills were due. I had a ton of legal trouble hanging over my head. I didn't really know about treatment. Like, I knew that it existed, but I thought it was just for famous people. But I knew I had to do something because just sitting around my apartment obsessing about my self-created drama was definitely not going to get me sober. I had no money, no coach, no motivation. I couldn't even get off the couch most of the time. And all I knew, like so many people, was AA. And I guess really, when I got sober, there weren't a lot of other options in general, right? Like now there's all these other programs and all these people are popping up online and whatever, but none of that existed when I got sober. So all I knew was AA. I didn't know anything about AA. All I knew is that's where people went when they didn't want to drink anymore. And I needed to be a person who didn't drink anymore. So I went. I had no direction or guidance, but I had the desire to be a sober person. And that desire is what drove me to show up every day for myself. This was not about anyone but me. Of course, there's my family and the people that love me. It's nice not to be the fucked up one in the family anymore. You know, it's nice to be liked and respected. And it's nice that everybody doesn't roll their eyes the minute I walk in the room because they know I suck up all the energy. But I wasn't doing it for them. I was doing it for me because I was tired of feeling like a loser. I was tired of being a piece of shit, not feeling like a POS, but being a POS because my actions and my choices on a daily basis were those of a shitty person. I was exhausted and I was so worn out from trying to keep up with myself. And I know you guys know that feeling, just like trying to keep up with yourself. Like it's exhausting. And it felt like I was a moving target, even for myself. I was a moving target. I couldn't sit still. I think because I was so uncomfortable with myself. I didn't like me. I had zero respect for me. And the last thing I wanted to do was sit still and engage with the committee. You know exactly what I'm saying. It's like the moment you relax, the committee kicks in, and it's usually the anxiety voice that kicks in first for me, telling me about all the things I have to worry about and all the things I don't know what to do about. And then it's the self-esteem voice telling me all the things I did wrong or telling me how weak I am and telling me I can't do it or it's too hard or it's overwhelming or I won't be successful. Then it's the insecurity voice, will I be okay? Will anyone I love support me? Will my friends not like me anymore? Will I fail and disappoint myself again? And those are just a few of the voices, you know, but when I sat still, those voices were loud and clear. And this is what I mean when I tell you guys to stay busy and don't sit around spending quiet time with the committee. You have to do things to distract the committee. You have to be taking in other information so it has something to talk about so it doesn't turn on you. And this is the first thing I want to talk about. If I was starting over from day one, the first thing I would work on is my head, the committee. And I think inadvertently, I did this in a couple of ways without knowing it, right? Of course, all of this is clear to me because it's years down the road. I can look back on it and I can see it all very clearly now. In the moment, I didn't know that I was doing these things, but I think I started with my head. One, I knew for a long time that I needed to quit drinking. So all the thoughts about it were swirling around in my head for a while. I was thinking about it. I was mulling it over, kind of getting used to the idea. And I had taken a couple of breaks from drinking, which further proved I needed to quit for good because both times I started drinking again, I actually drank worse than when I took the break. So the thoughts of sobriety had been floating around in my head for some time. Also, before I went to my first meeting, I had been laid up in the house for a week, right, contemplating my life and what the F I was doing. So I crashed my car. Like, I had my car accident. You guys know that story. I crashed my car on a Wednesday at like 1 a.m. So like Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at 1 a.m. That's when I crashed. I got home from the hospital around 7 a.m. I laid around Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday detoxing and dealing with my whole face being busted up. Then I drank again that Friday night. After my car accident, I knew I never wanted to drink again. I was so angry at myself. I was so distraught and humiliated and scared to death. And I knew I was done drinking. But I let some people talk me into going out that Friday night. We had bought concert tickets several weeks before, obviously having no idea I was going to crash and quit drinking, right? And they wanted me to still go to the concert. And I should say also, these were not friends. They were not people I knew well that I spent a lot of time with. It was a guy that I think I kind of liked. I think I had a crush on him. Or I was thinking about liking him, maybe. I don't remember exactly. But it was him who was a friend of a friend. And it was his cousin and his wife were going with us. Right. So kind of a double date, I think. Honestly, you guys, I can't even tell you these people's names. So like I did not know them well. And I want to be clear about that because it was the first mistake I made in this series of decisions. I was going to hang out with people who didn't care about me, right? We weren't friends. They didn't care about my best interests. It was all about having fun. I thought they would understand that I wasn't drinking because I just had this horrible accident. But that didn't turn out to be the case. And it's a crazy story. I felt trapped. I didn't drive myself, so I had no way to leave. I was an hour from home, so a cab wasn't an option. I had already burned all the bridges of my friends picking me up at the hospital or the police station. And I was an hour away, so they definitely weren't going to come rescue me again that far away. And Uber didn't exist, so that wasn't an option. I just felt trapped. They wanted me to drink. I didn't know what to do. I was stuck with them for like the next several hours. I didn't want it to be horrible and uncomfortable. And of course, I had zero coping skills. And I was so insecure and codependent. I didn't want to make everyone else uncomfortable by me not drinking. So in a split second, instant gratification decision, I decided to drink. And I knew it was my last night drinking for the rest of my life. And I drank like a lunatic. This is exactly the scenario that I warn you about with social situations, right? Remember I did that holiday episode, staying sober during the holidays and social situations? And I gave you guys a checklist of all the things to do to protect your sobriety in those situations. And that night, I did not protect myself at all. I didn't do any of those things. I was not prepared, and that left me vulnerable. And as usual, if I leave myself vulnerable, alcohol will win. Alcohol will always win if you aren't prepared. If you don't protect yourself, don't expect other people to protect you. It's not their responsibility. It's yours. You protect you. Just like me in that moment, like I thought because I had crashed my car drunk, I thought there's no way they're going to expect me to drink, right? I just made this crazy assumption, but I was totally inaccurate because they didn't know how I was feeling on the inside. They didn't know how horrible I felt, right? They were just in party mode. I have to protect me. You protect you. Don't be passive and try to make it other people's job to do the work for you. It's no one's responsibility to do or say things to make sure that you are comfortable or to accommodate you, right? It's nice if they do, but it's not their place. It's your place to make sure you are comfortable. It's your place to decline invitations to places or events that may not be the best spot for you. So after that night, I was so disappointed in myself, and I was so super disappointed in the people I hung out with because I couldn't believe they let me drink. Like it was their job to worry about my sobriety. I was so ridiculous and immature. I also felt extremely unsafe because I had foolishly thought that this small group of basically strangers I was with, I thought they would support me in not drinking. And that's not what happened. And I felt very mistrusting of people at that point. And I had a week to lay around my house, detoxing again and letting my face heal a little bit, that I was thinking only about being sober. I never wanted another drink. I was angry at alcohol. I was angry at how out of control it made me. I was angry that it was okay killing me. Like, alcohol didn't care if I died. And I knew it was my number one enemy. So when I say the first thing I would do is work on my head, this is what I mean. Get clear in your head about what you are doing. I mean, think about it. Journal about it. Have a conversation with the committee and tell it what you are doing and how you are doing it. Be resolute in your decision. No BS. Make a commitment. And part two of starting with your head is starting to change all the negative thoughts. When you want to tell yourself how hard it's going to be, or how awful it's going to be, or you'll never have fun again, or your friends won't be your friends anymore. When you hear your head telling you meetings are weird, you're not as bad as those people, and life will suck without alcohol, or what will you do at your wedding without alcohol, or on your birthday, or New Year's Eve? You have to turn all this shit around and stop torturing yourself. First of all, if it sucked to be sober, there wouldn't be millions of sober people all over the world. Like, obviously, we're doing okay, you know? If AA was so terrible, there wouldn't be tens of millions of members across the globe. Stop trying to degrade AA because you're scared. It's okay to be scared, but it's not AA's fault, and it's not AA's responsibility to make you comfortable. Stop hiding behind all your drama. Secondly, grow the fuck up. It's time to be an adult and have an adult life. It's time to get it together. It's time to be able to face your problems and get through them instead of hiding in the bottom of a bottle. It's time to be a partner to your partner and be a real parent to your kids and be a good employee to your employer. It's time to be present in your life. It's time to find yourself and get to know who you really are and what you really enjoy doing. It's time to start making choices you are proud of rather than making choices that were maybe somewhat appropriate in our 20s, but definitely not appropriate beyond that. Grow up. And I don't care how old you are. If drinking is the only thing you can come up with to have fun, then you are basically stuck at 21. And that's way more embarrassing to me than being an alcoholic or being sober. There is nothing more embarrassing than a bunch of 30, 40, or 50-somethings behaving like they are 20-something, stuck in instant gratification, just like we were when we were kids. This is our biggest complaint about teenagers, yet we want to continue that behavior well into adulthood. It's time to grow up. When the committee is being negative, immediately turn it around into something positive. And I mean spend all day in your head turning those thoughts around. When the committee starts complaining about traffic, make yourself say three positive things about that moment. I'm so grateful I have a great radio to listen to. I'm so glad I don't drive like that person, you know? Or what a great luxury to have a car and not have to walk. Bam, three positive things. It probably took 6 seconds. Do this all day. If you catch yourself complaining about chores, say three positive things. It's always unloading the dishwasher for me. That's why I always use this example. I don't like unloading the dishwasher. But man, am I grateful I don't have to hand wash every dish. And I'm so glad I have a really nice kitchen to be in. And I'm super grateful I have stores where I can go buy whatever I want and stores where I can save money at the same time. How about if... your partner is annoying you. First, remind yourself that you love that person. Then remind yourself that you are also annoying to them. And then have a moment of gratitude that you can recognize this and still love each other. Then make a mental note to do something thoughtful for your person tomorrow. If your kids pissed you off today, think about how grateful you are to have them, because many people don't get to even when they really want to. Think about how funny and kind they can be and go tell them something you appreciate about them. I just gave you a lot of stuff right there. That was a lot of action I just gave you right there. But it starts in your head. If the committee is telling you that going to a meeting is going to be terrible, then tell the committee it has no idea what it's talking about, because those rooms are full of really funny and incredible people. Those are the strongest people you will ever meet. If it's telling you to doubt yourself, you won't be able to do it. You aren't strong enough. You've never been able to do it before, so why would now be any different? Then I want you to think about a few of the hardest times in your life that you got through. Maybe it was a financial situation or a divorce. Maybe it was a death that broke your heart into 1,000 pieces. Remember how strong you are and that you survived those incredibly difficult situations. And you can totally do this. I mean, if you want, tell the committee what a damn mess I was. And if I can do it, I promise you, you can do it. Start to see your new life in your head. Show the committee the picture of you walking into a meeting and smiling and saying hello to someone and pouring your cup of coffee and feeling that anxiety that we all have, but knowing it's okay because you can get through it. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay to have anxiety. And remind the committee that every single person in that room experienced the same thing. I was terrified walking into my first meeting. Then I realized they're just people, no different from the people you see at your kids' school or at church, no different than the people you are in line with at the store or at the bank, next to you in your yoga class. We're just people, just like you. You get what I'm saying? Turn your thoughts around first, because your attitude is what is the deciding factor in your success in anything. If you believe you can do something, you absolutely can. And if you believe you can't, then you just won't. The next thing I would do, find a tribe. It is so important you have a tribe to be connected to. We talked about this in a recent episode too. Like-minded people want to hang around like-minded people. I like to hang out with other entrepreneurs because we have the same struggles and we can help each other out. I like to hang out with other dog parents and other single people because we can connect on those things. Alcoholics, of course, are my favorite people because we're so strong and brave and we're funny and crazy smart and we're colorful and kind and we're generous people. Find your tribe of non-drinking people. Wherever they are, I don't care, but find them and put some energy into connecting with them. Build relationships. Give of yourself. Do not go into it thinking about what you're going to get. What are they going to do for me? How's this going to make me feel? Me, me, me. Give of yourself. Be of service to the other people. Be supportive. Share yourself. For me in the beginning, I went to meetings. I went to a lot of meetings. I went to different meetings all over my city. I met people in those groups. We would hang out. We would meet at meetings. We would meeting hop together. Meeting hopping is just like bar hopping. You just go and explore different places. Like everyone else in my early sobriety, I was very insecure and uncomfortable with myself. And I was a person who sought attention and approval from others. I needed other people to make me feel better about myself because if other people liked me, it made me hate myself a little less. So many of the people I hung around in my first several months of sobriety, they weren't lifelong friends, right? We were supportive friends to one another in one of the most difficult times in our lives. That's what I needed in the beginning. I needed a tribe that was centered on sobriety because sobriety was my only priority. And this brings me to really the number one thing, make a commitment. From day one, they said 90 meetings in 90 days. It sounded ridiculous. Like, you guys, I promise, like, I understand when you hear 90 meetings in 90 days, you're like, what the F are these people talking about? That's crazy. I felt the same way. But I agreed because I knew if I wanted to be successful in this, I had to do everything different from how I would normally do it. So drunken me was lazy and would never commit to anything other than drinking, right? That was the only thing I ever committed to was drinking. And that's why I knew it was important for me to do the exact opposite of that. So they said 90 meetings in 90 days, and I said, hell yes, let's do it. I committed to 90 meetings in 90 days. It takes 90 days to create a lifestyle. It takes however many days they say to break a habit or create a new habit, but it takes 90 days to create a lifestyle. Make a commitment, be resolute in your decision, make it the number one most important thing in your everyday and do it. Next thing, change your environment. Nobody thinks about doing this. Whatever stage of sobriety you are in, I want you to get rid of all your drinking paraphernalia. All your glasses, beer mugs, wine glasses, bottle openers, koozies, whatever you have laying around to accommodate your drinking life needs to go straight to the garbage. Or give it away. There's plenty of other drunks. Give it to them. Then I want you to buy yourself a fresh new set of glasses that are specifically for your fresh new alcohol-free life. And find a fresh beverage that you love that doesn't have alcohol and create a new ritual. Now, when you open your cabinets, you're reminded of your new life instead of your old one. And when you open your refrigerator, you see your new beverage for your new life instead of seeing the crap that drags you back toward your old life. Then, on your environment, I want you to go into whatever room you drank in, whatever your ritual was, go in that room where you drank, and I want you to rearrange the furniture. Make it a new room to support your new lifestyle. If you sat in a certain chair, then move that chair to a new spot in the room. Or put new pillows on the couch or hang new draperies. Paint the whole damn room and move everything if you can. We want your brain to know the moment it enters that room that we're doing something different. We aren't falling back into old patterns. If you took a drinking cup in your car, throw it out. You can get a new travel cup. Then put a new air freshener in your car or get something cute to go in the cup holder. Make it new. That's your environment. Next thing, super important, have fun. This is extra challenging right now because many of our rituals and things we normally do have been taken from us. It is no surprise that many of us are starting to really lose our minds a bit. This is a part of recovery that is way overlooked. You have to have fun. If my sobriety sucks, I won't stay sober. It's just that simple. And have some awareness too that fun isn't going to look the same in sobriety. It's going to look a little bit different. You're going to have to try new things, try different activities with different people. Go for a walk with your family. Take some inexpensive courses online to learn something you're interested in. I just did this too, you guys. There's a site called Udemy, udemy.com, U-D-E-M-Y. And it is online courses for everything you could possibly imagine, and they're super inexpensive. I mean, I think I've gotten some for like $8, but such a cool thing to do, and you can find any topic you could possibly imagine on there. Go to movies with friends. Here's one thing I just started. I printed out some new recipes and I made a commitment to trying one new recipe a week. Because for me, I want to eat more nutritious foods, but my knowledge is limited. And what I find is I only know a handful of healthy things to eat, and I get frustrated and I get bored with the same old stuff all the time. And that's how I set myself up for failure, right? Because I know I'm going to get bored with the few things that I know. So this is what I mean when I say put some time into it. So I put some time into it and I sat down with Google and I found some new meals to try. And I may even make video of me cooking these new meals, and I'll share the videos and recipes in the Inner Circle membership site. That'll be super fun. I mean, maybe not for you, but but maybe. Maybe you want to learn photography. Go on YouTube and learn it. It will teach you how YouTube will teach you everything. Maybe you want some new workouts. Google it. Maybe you want to redecorate your living room or bedroom, like we said in the last one, to change your environment. Go online, look at some pictures and see what you like. When you find rooms you like, save those pictures on your computer so you can reference back to them and start looking around for deals on the stuff you want. What interests you? Do you want to learn a new language? Learn how to build a website? Start a new business? Look for a new job? Maybe you want to tutor other people in something you're really smart in. Maybe you want to take guitar lessons. Maybe you want to give guitar lessons. Maybe you want to learn painting. Maybe you want to train for a marathon. Maybe you want to do a book club, an online book club. Find things you like to do or things you want to try and go do them, and invite people to do them with you. Create fun. You guys, do not sit in your house and do nothing and be pissed off that you are bored. no one is going to show up at your door and offer you a life in a box, right? It's your responsibility. Build your life the way you want it. So this is my short list. And I bet most of you aren't doing most of these things. So let's recap real quick. Start with your head. Get your thoughts in order. Get the committee in order. Sign up for the Mindset Makeover to get your energy up and get your thoughts strong. I'll link it in the show notes. It's free. It's 5 days, an email each day with a great video. Get clear in your head about what you want. Make a decision and commit to it. Stop effing around. Next, find a tribe. People you can connect with, people you can laugh with, people who will support you when you aren't able to support yourself. We are human beings. We will have ups and downs. Some days I feel great. Some days I want to hide under my bed. That's just the nature of life. On the days I want to hide under my bed, it's super important that I have a tribe to remind me that there are no solutions under my bed, right? Maybe we meet for coffee and have some laughs. Maybe we go for a walk, whatever it is. But when I don't have my own energy to fuel me, I have to have somewhere to get that energy. And that's with my tribe, just like our Facebook group. And I'll link that in the show notes too. If you're not a member yet, join that thing. Next, change your environment. This is a game changer. Get rid of your old life drinking crap and start creating an environment to support your new alcohol-free life. Last, have fun. Create fun in your life. Do not complain about being bored. My sponsor told me if I'm bored, it's because I'm being boring. And he was exactly right. I wanted to lay around on my couch all day, smoking cigarettes with the curtains closed, and then I wondered why I didn't feel great and there was nothing to do. You know, like what an idiot I was. It's so ridiculous when I look back on it now. Like I really thought everything was going to show up at my door like a life and fun delivery service. You know, it's so silly. Okay, my friends. I hope you loved this. Let's do this. Do these things. Get into action. These are a great few things to focus on for the next couple of months. Get good at these. Be accountable. When you catch yourself being a little bit lazy, get re-engaged. Don't beat yourself up about it. It takes practice. So catch yourself, have a quick conversation with the committee about being better at whatever piece is slipping, and start doing it. And for those of you in the inner circle, I hope to see you at one of our online recovery meetings this week. We've got some great bonus content coming up in there. And again, I will link to the Mindset Makeover series in the show notes and I'll link to join the Facebook group. I look forward to meeting you guys. I love it when I get to meet you guys in there. I hope you are having a fantastic day and I'll see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.